Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 58, Prayer That Brings Results, Part 3. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message on January 20th, 2018.
Because that's been our theme for this last few weeks, and we're going to continue to explore the things in prayers, but we're talking specifically now about prayers that bring results. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to pray and I make a connection with God, I want to see something happen. I mean, I mean, it's not about twisting God's arm or trying to make him do stuff and all of that kind of thing. But he's got a lot of promises in his word that I have yet to see unfold in my life, in the lives of the people around, in a greater way. Jesus said, "The works that I do will you do also, and even greater works than these shall you do, because I'm going to the Father." And I really want to see that happen. I want to see that happen in your life. I want to see that happen in the lives of the people around us. I want to see that happen in our families. You know, probably all of you have family members that are either straying or not saved, or just maybe you don't even know where they are spiritually. Because they shut down when you try to talk to them, or maybe just haven't had the boldness to speak to them because they're rough and gruff or whatever, or else they just change the subject and things. But we need to see our families come into the kingdom of God, every one of them, you know, moms, dads, uncles, aunts, cousins. We need to see them touched with the power of God and come into the family of God. And they need to be connected. I mean, I'm not talking about just being out there somewhere, but really being connected to the body of Christ so that they can be ministered to, number one, but then secondly, so that they can go out. You know that the person who's most likely to reach another lost person is someone who's just been saved. Because a lot of times when people are Christians for a while, they sit in churches, they get fat on the messages, you know, whatever, we fill up. Nice message, Pastor. Well, what did I say? Well, I don't know, but it was good. Because we get so accustomed to church and messages and whatever, you know. Sometimes the unbelievers out there, what they say about church people, they say, "You church people, you sure do a lot of meetings." We know that for sure. I mean, that's their perception of church. But you know, it's not about meetings. It's about making a connection with God. It's about having his reality operating in your life. So that's why I want to see prayer that brings results, prayer that brings families in, prayer that gets needs met, prayer that gets people healed, set free from the power of the devil, and on fire for God. That's what we need, prayer that brings results. So that's why we're talking about this at the beginning of the year, because I believe this is a year of prayer for many people. Certainly our nation needs prayer. Anybody have any disagreement with that? I mean, all of the stuff that's going on, you know, you can take one side or the other side, but it doesn't matter which side you take. They all need God. Amen. They need him really badly, and they need his help really badly. Because and what happens there will affect every one of us. So when the Bible says, first of all, pray for kings, rulers, and authorities, that's what Paul was talking about. Take your responsibility as a believer in Jesus Christ and proactively pray for the leadership of this nation, of our state, of this city, so that we can live a quiet and peaceful and godly life in dignity. Amen? Because chaos and anarchy is not a good option. Amen? Praise the Lord. And we're not going to go there in Jesus' name, not on our watch. Is it going to happen? Amen? Praise the Lord. So you have to be determined about that. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, this is what Paul had to say to a young pastor. He said in verse 1, these are the first four verses of 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm reading from New Living. He says, "I urge you first of all to pray for all people." He's urging him to pray for all people. Okay, so prayer is important. He says, "Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them." So those are the instructions. Pray for them, ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. I know some people it's hard to give thanks for, but this is the instruction. I didn't write the book. Paul wrote this letter. He was inspired by God. It's instruction to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. So then he says, pray this way for all kings and all who are in authority. Everybody say, all who are in authority.
All who are in authority.
So it covers every person in authority. That means home, workplace, in families, in businesses, in governance. Pray for all who are in authority, in ministries, in churches. Amen. People who have authority, pray for them. Don't criticize them, because criticizing them isn't going to help them or you. Just make you madder. You know, you can listen to talk radio, and I listen to it sometimes, but sometimes it just makes you upset inside, you know. It's probably not worth that. If it's making you upset inside, turn the thing off.
Amen.
Amen. Or stuff you watch on the news. I mean, we're bombarded with stuff, you know, and trying to discern what's true and what isn't true isn't very hard anymore, because a lot of it isn't true. Because it's somebody's perception of something. Maybe they really believe it, but it's not necessarily true. So anyway, that's another subject. But that's why we need to pray for kings and for rulers, for all who are in authority. So today we don't have a king of the United States of America. We have a president. So let's pray for him. Amen. We have a Congress. Let's pray for them. We have a Supreme Court. Let's pray for them. Amen. So we could all be critical, but, you know, we're not sitting in their shoes. So we probably don't even know what they're feeling, what they're going through, and we don't have half of the information they have to process every day. Amen. So pray for them, because that will change things. Praise the Lord. So, and it says, so that we can live a peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. That's the kind of life. That's God's picture of you, living a life in godliness and dignity. You know, when you come into the workplace, people should be thinking there's a godly man or a godly woman that has some dignity. When you go to the store, people should see you as a person of godliness and dignity. Now, I know you see all kinds of things at stores. I mean, just go over to Walmart sometime and take a look. Or any other store. I mean, it doesn't have to be a big box store. You can go to an exquisite store and see some stuff too. Because a lot of people are just letting it all hang out. Amen? So, when you come in, you should be a person of dignity. The glow of the Holy Spirit should be on you. You should be attracting people to Jesus just by walking into the store. Why? Because you're a believer. And because he's living in you. And he's trying to shine through you. Jesus said, you shall be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So let's be light and salt. Amen? Praise the Lord. Yeah, somebody said, I like being the salt part. You know, just cut yourself once and I'll put some in. But we're supposed to season, basically. We're supposed to season the culture. We're supposed to season the world that we live in. But we won't do that if we haven't prayed through, if we haven't had a connection with God and taken this really, really seriously, taken it to heart. So I want to encourage you, just, you know, look at the scripture, take it to heart. It says, this, verse 3, is good and pleases God our Savior. Just think about that. When you're praying for the president, the Congress, or whatever, you're pleasing God. And it's good. Who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth or come to the knowledge of the truth. That's his heart. So when you look at those people and, you know, even people that are operating in some modicum of dysfunction, just remember that it's God's heart for them to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen? Because if they're saved and they come to the knowledge of the truth, their lives will change. Their lives will exhibit something different. Amen? I mean, it may be a process and it may take some time, but at least give them a chance to start, because we want to see them in heaven. Amen? Let's take as many as we can with us. Amen? When Jesus comes back. Praise the Lord. Okay, so From the earliest times, Jesus' disciples demonstrated the power of prayer. So I want to take one look in the book of Matthew. I'm sorry, in the book of Acts. I want to take a look at one specific story about how they use prayer and the power of prayer. Because I'm talking this morning about prayer that brings results. And then we'll talk a little bit specifically about intercession. We'll talk a little bit about praying in the Spirit or praying in tongues. And we'll talk a little bit about how the Holy Spirit will help you in your prayer life. Praise the Lord. So, but let's look at this story first from Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 15. Now, Peter and John were taken to task because they had performed a great miracle on a man who was crippled. They came up to the temple, and they saw this crippled man, and Peter said to the man, the guy was begging for money, and, you know, even in our day, you know, you see people with their hand out. Okay, so this was Peter's response to that man. He was begging for money. He said, "Look at us." So most of the time, you know, when we see something like that, we're trying to get people, just don't look at us. Just let me walk by. You know, I don't want to deal with this right now. I'm busy. I'm in a hurry, whatever. And I don't even know if you're fake. I don't know if you really have any needs. I don't know if you're doing this for your livelihood. You know, this is in you're making $100,000 a year. I don't know. I don't know what your situation is, but I don't want to deal with it because I don't want to get into it and I don't have time. But Peter and John said, "Look at us, look on us." And when the man looked, perceiving that he was going to get some money from them, he said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have I'm going to give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the guy jumped up, he pulled him up, and then he jumped and he went walking, leaping, and praising God. And it got him it got these disciples into trouble with the religious people. And that happens today too. Sometimes religious people don't like you living for Jesus. They don't like you having miracles. They don't like you prospering and being in health. They don't like anything about you. But that's okay, because sometimes religious people just need a touch of God to change their hearts and lives, like God touched the life of Paul, and then they can turn their life around and serve Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. But anyway, Peter and John were in trouble, so that brings us to verse 15. It says, they brought him before the council. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council then and conferred among themselves. "What shall we do with these men?" they asked each other. "We can't deny that they performed a miraculous sign, and everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. But to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak anyone in Jesus' name again." And so they called the apostles back and commanded them never again to teach, to speak, or to teach in the name of Jesus. Now, a couple of messages ago, we talked about what? About praying in the name of Jesus. So this is not just the magic ending to the prayer in Jesus' name. This is invoking the authority that comes through Jesus to those who are praying or using his name. Basically, you have power of attorney to use his name, and when you sign, he signs. It's like him signing, sealing the deal. If you have a bank account and you want to make a withdrawal, all you have to do is write on a withdrawal slip or on a check and sign your name. Amen? And that's the authority by which the money is released to you or to someone that you designate. It's the same when you're praying and believing God for something and using the name, using the authority of the name, then it happens. So they're saying, what we can do with these guys so they don't spread this propaganda and so we don't see any more of this nonsense miracles happening and disrupting our religious dream, let's tell them not to speak or teach or preach or even use this name. In other words, don't operate. You can do whatever you want, just don't use the authority of Jesus. That'll put a stop to that. Okay? So verse 19, but Peter and John replied, "Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard." Now, shouldn't that be a picture of our lives? You want me to shut up? I can't shut up. Sorry. No, I'm not sorry. It's like this. You want to hear it again? Here it is. And it's good. And it'll change your life. So that's how we should be. We should be so full of this that you say somebody gives us the thing and, you know, whatever. Just say, I'm not going to stop. You think I'm going to stop? Because you're doing that to me? I'm not going to stop. Because I'm not afraid of you, and I'm not afraid of the devil, and I'm not afraid of what happened, because I can't help but say the truth about what God has done in my life. And people may not like it, but it doesn't matter if people like it. You're not there to serve them or please them. You're there to give them the truth. Amen? Praise the Lord. So that's Peter's response to this. And verse 21 says, the consul then threatened them further, and finally they let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God for the miraculous sign, the healing of the man who had been lame for 40 years. This guy was lame for 40 years. Don't you think they ought to be rejoicing that this guy got healed? I mean, it's just like, how crazy religious can you be and not think that that's a good thing? But some people like that. Even today, some people are like that. Praise the Lord. So what do? We pray for them, believe God, and don't shut up. Amen? So anyway, this is the response that the believers had, and this is really the part I want to get to. Verse 23, as soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the believers and told them that the leading priests and elders had said, when they heard the report, all of the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. So this is their response. Their response isn't, how do we protect ourselves from these religious bigots? How do we protect, you know, maybe we need to lock the doors. Maybe we need to do something, you know. Maybe we need to have bodyguards. I don't know what we need, because they didn't treat them very nice, and it's going to get worse. No, it says they lifted their voices together in prayer to God. Now, this is one of the places where there's a prayer, there's a unity kind of prayer. I don't know if somebody said, repeat after me, let's say these words as we pray to God. I don't know if it's just all came out half in tongues, half in Hebrew, half in Aramaic, or whatever they were speaking. I'm not sure exactly how it happened, but this is what's recorded that they said. They lifted their voices in prayer to God. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. You spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time on futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared to battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined in beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats. Hear their threats. Just kill them. It didn't say that there? Oh, okay. Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Now, wasn't that what got them into trouble in the first place? And they're asking for more boldness to do the same? Isn't that crazy? It's crazy good. Amen? Because this is how you change the nature of situations, is to respond with prayer and with boldness. And they knew that. The Bible says in some other places, I think it's in the book of Psalms, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous is bold as a lion. So if you have right standing with God, you have a right to be like the lion of boldness. Amen? So see yourself in the picture a little differently. See yourself as someone who's bold in Jesus, who's bold in the things of God, instead of, I don't know, even. Instead of cringing and hiding and being kind of wishy-washy, begin to pray for boldness. And in the face of threats, for sure, pray for boldness to speak as you ought to speak. Amen? Praise the Lord. So then he says, then they continued this prayer together. It says, stretch out your hand with healing power. Now, that was what got Peter and John into trouble. Stretch out your hand with healing power. So everything that got them into trouble, they're praying, give us more. Give us more. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Wow. Just God, if you want to do something, just step it up a couple of notches. Yeah, let's really kick this thing in gear. God, let's partner together and let's get this thing going. Just pour it out now. We want to see it. We want to see it bigger. We want to see it more. We want to see it greater. We want to see it happen in our city. Amen? Praise the Lord. So that's their attitude under persecution. Now look at the results. We're talking about prayer that gets results. Look what happened. Verse 31. After the prayer, the meeting place shook. Now, I've been in a few prayer meetings since I got saved over 30 years ago. But I don't remember any prayer meeting where the meeting room shook. I remember some prayer meetings where it was thunderous loud. I mean, just blasting you out. I've been in a stadium with 65,000 people praising and worshiping God and praying in tongues all at once. It's like waves of thunder went around that stadium. That's how Pastor Karen and I got filled with the Holy Spirit at that place. It was amazing. Never seen anything like it in my life, and haven't seen anything probably comparable to it since, except in some videos in Africa. But amazing. It says this meeting room shook, and they, the people that were in the meeting room, were all filled with Holy Spirit. Now, wait a minute. I thought they were already full. Well, if they were full, they got fuller. Amen? So what that says is there's more. No matter how much you got more. You can get more. You can receive more. God wants to give you more. He shook that place. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, now this is the real result, then they preached the word of God with boldness. Now, it doesn't say that only the apostles or only the preachers preached the word of God. It says they. This was a body of believers. This is the family of God gathering together in a setting maybe like this. Maybe they didn't have church like we have church. They'd probably be really shocked to see what church is like these days. But they were together. They were praying. The place shook. They were filled with boldness. They went out and preached the word with boldness. Amazing. Prayer brought results. Amen? Okay. So let's take a look at a couple of more aspects of prayer before we close this morning that will help you get a perception of prayer that brings results. Now, some people just put prayer in a bag, shake it up, and say prayer is prayer. You know, it's talking to God, whatever. It's just having a conversation with God and things. But there are different kinds of prayers. And there are actually kind of different rules, if you would, that go with those different kinds of prayers. Like, for instance, a lot of people just tack on, if they don't know what God wants to do or they've never bothered to check what he wants to do, they just say, and Father, if it be your will, something or another. But that prayer, that kind of a prayer, praying for the will of God is a different kind of a prayer. That isn't a prayer of faith. That's just a prayer of dedication and consecration, consecrating yourself for the will of God to be done in your life. And that has different rules than the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith says, believe that you receive it and you will have it on specific things. Whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it and you will have it. That's the prayer of faith. Mark 11, chapter 11, verse 24, that is, I believe. So that's a different kind of prayer with different kind of rules. But getting back to the subject here, you can't just shake prayer up and say, this is prayer, it's whatever. It's just talking to God. Well, I mean, that's a broad definition. Of course they're talking to God if you're praying. So are the Muslims. So are the Buddhists. So is every other kind of religion. They're talking to God. might not be the same God you're talking to, but they're talking to God, right? They're talking to their God. So anyway, we're looking at different kinds of prayer, and we're looking at different aspects of prayer to get at what will bring results, because we want to pray effectively. In the book of James, Pastor James of the first church in Jerusalem said, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. In other words, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous person, a person who's right standing with God, has results. It brings results. So all you have to do is have right standing with God to get to be able to pray prayers that get results. So the point is we should be focused on what kind of praying brings results, and we should not just say, well, whatever, you know, God will do whatever he wants to do, you know. That's just like whatever will be, and this isn't que sera, sera. Amen? That's just like it's a game of chance, you know, you throw something up, you hope it sticks. Sometimes things work, sometimes they don't work. That's how the world lives, but that's not how you and I should live, amen? Praise the Lord. So, we talked about praying in Jesus' name, using John chapter 16. We talked about believing when you pray, praying the prayer of faith from Mark 11, 23 and 24. We talked about forgiving when we pray, because unforgiveness is a showstopper. We talked, I believe it was last week, about depending on the Holy Spirit to help our prayer life. So we're going to head some more a little bit in that direction, in that vein, this morning about the Holy Spirit's help. So to get into that, just take a look at, I think you were in the book of 1 Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And let's take a look at what Paul was telling Timothy about prayer. He said, therefore, I exhort, first of all, verse 2, 1 Timothy 2, 2, that supplications, prayers, intercession, and the giving of thanks be made for all men. So that statement is interesting from this point, because it shows that there are different kinds of prayers. He's saying that there are prayers that are supplication. Supplication would be to make a request. To supplicate means to request something. And then he says prayers, so there must be another kind of category other than making a request. And then he says intercessions. Intercession is different because you're praying for another person. You're not praying for yourself in intercession. And giving of thanks. Giving of thanks can cover a lot of areas, right? But a prayer of thanksgiving is prayed differently than the prayer of faith. You don't have to believe God for some thanksgiving. I mean, you're just thanking him. Thank you, Jesus, that I already have the answer. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to my aid. Thank you, Jesus. You know, Jesus commended the one Samaritan who got healed, the leper. 10 people got healed. One came back and thanked him. He said, where are the 9? Gratefulness is a huge, huge thing in prayer motivation, so we should be thankful. And a lot of times we put the prayer of thanksgiving together with other prayers because we're just so thankful. We're thankful that God heard us and that, you know, we don't have to worry about this thing anymore. I put it in God's hands. It's there. It's in good hands. You're in good hands with God, not with Allstate. Amen. Praise the Lord. Maybe you're in good hands with Allstate. I don't know. I'm not going to contest their statement, but they think you're in good hands, but I'd trust God first anyway. Praise the Lord. But it's interesting that he says these different kinds of prayers. So let's talk about one of those kinds. You know, of course, we understand the prayer of petition, asking God for something. We understand thanksgiving, thanking God for something. But sometimes we don't always understand intercession, because I don't know about you, but have you ever prayed for somebody and you didn't see anything happen? Probably a few times. No, I mean, let's just be honest. You know, you prayed and you kind of hoped God would do something, and then seems like he didn't do anything. or it seems like if he did do something, they didn't receive it. You know, one or the other. Amen. So you were interceding for another person. So that one maybe needs a little attention, this prayer of intercession. So to intercede is to intervene between parties with a view of reconciling differences. In other words, it's this way, and we want to reconcile it to make it like this. We want to bring it back to this. Sometimes we're interceding for a person to accept Jesus in their life so that they can be saved. And we want them reconciled to God, right? We want them to be taken out of the kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. We want them to receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance with those who are saved, those who have faith in Jesus. Amen? So when we intercede for that, it's a kind of supplication where we're asking. It's a kind of supplication is more like an earnest prayer. It's an earnest prayer on behalf of another person. And you say, well, what makes an earnest prayer? I mean, do I have to look a certain way or twist my tongue a certain way? Or what do I have to do to have an earnest prayer? Well, for one thing, I think you could be sure of, an earnest prayer comes from the heart, okay? So you're not just saying words. I mean, sometimes people say, you know, when you come to somebody, you ask them something, will you do this for me? And they'll say, I'll pray about it. You know what that means? That means I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to act spiritual about it. I'm not going to help you, but I'm going to act spiritual about it. And I'm going to pray. It's a cover. Happens a lot. Well, I'll pray about it. Well, you might as well just write that off, because they're not going to pray about it and they're not going to do it. So you better go look for somebody else if you need it done. Amen? I mean, I'm just being real about the Christian world and Christianese and whatever. We shouldn't be that way. You know, our yes should be yes, our no should be no. If you don't want to do it, say, no, I'm not going to do it. Or no, I can't do it. That might not be true. Or no, I don't feel to do it. But don't say you're going to pray about it if you're not going to pray about it and you're not going to do it. Amen? Just be an honest person. Amen? Praise the Lord. I know some of you have a hard time saying no to people. But it's okay. You can get over that. And just say no. I'm not. I can't. And I just, please, ask somebody else to do it. And then everything's okay. I mean, it's not like there's some expectation out there for you to do something you're not going to do. And there's no bad feelings. I mean, there might be some bad feelings that you turn somebody down, but they'll get over it. Amen? And if they don't, you could pray for them. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Okay, so when we're talking about intercession, we're actually talking about putting ourselves in the other person's place. It's as if whatever their problem that we're interceding for them is, it's our own problem. I'm taking ownership to this thing for the moment, to go to God to get a resolution to this thing. Does that make sense to you? That's what intercession is about. It's going on somebody's behalf, you know, like in a sense, today in today's world, when you have, you know, somebody that's accused of something and they're taken to court, but they have a lawyer. The lawyer is pleading on their behalf. I mean, he might be as crooked as a junkyard dog and not telling the truth and just, you know, doing all kinds of stuff for this client who's maybe already done some crime. But that's not the point. The point is the lawyer speaks on behalf of the person who's accused to the judge, and, you know, presumably to the jury if it's a jury trial. So if you think about it that way, you're kind of the in-between person who's going to God on another person's behalf, and you're pleading their case. Okay, so if the person is sick, you're saying, God, you know, this sickness, you know, we know you don't want this person sick. You didn't create sickness for this person, but for some reason he's sick, she's sick. And I'm coming to you on their behalf, and I'm interceding on your behalf. And so then sometimes, you know, you can think about scriptures that would apply to that person's life, to their sickness, to their whatever. And you're saying, God, you know, you promised healing to people who are believers. And in my heart, I think this person is a believer, and you promised this to them. So keep your promise. Wouldn't that be okay? But you're kind of taking it on yourself for that person. Now, maybe that person is so sick that they're too weak to take it on themselves. Amen? And they really need somebody to stand in the gap to make their presentation to God. They're feeling bad. I mean, they're in pain. They're just like miserable and can't maybe function or even think right. Or maybe the doctor has drugged them up so badly that, you know, that they can't function like in a normal way and process stuff or even think about stuff. So there's lots of reasons why you maybe should take that person's place. But that's just only one application to intercession. But you understand it's you've taken that place of that person. So normally intercession would be done for the lost, because and for believers, we'd probably call that more supplication, making an earnest prayer on their behalf. But I mean, it's a form of intercession, but you understand what I mean. We're praying earnestly in either case, but intercession for the lost is really kind of taking that person's place. It's almost like, I'm lost, God. And I can't bear being lost. And that person needs to come into your kingdom. I'm standing for that person right now, God. Would you look at me? Would you listen to me for that person? And so I'm getting under the things that are holding that person back, you know, whether it's their addictions, whether it's their fears, whether it's their trauma that they've been in, whether it's a medical condition, whether it's family situation, they were raised like this, whatever. But you're standing in the place of that person. And sometimes when you're really interceding and praying for a person like that, you start feeling like you're lost. I mean, if you really, really get into the depth of prayer, you can feel like a lost person. You know you're saved. I mean, in your mind, and you're processing this and shouldn't be feeling lost. I'm not lost, but the burden of that person is so much on my heart. I've got to see them saved. I have to see them saved. Because if they don't get saved, it's like me being lost in darkness, in fear, in desperation. And so sometimes when you're interceding for a sick person, you might feel like the sickness that they have. You're not sick. You don't have that. But you might start feeling like you have those symptoms, and you're reaching out to God to on that person's behalf to take that off of them. Or to somehow give some information that will help set them free. So now many times when we do these kind of things, we would be praying in the Spirit. So what does that mean? That means we would be praying under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And under the direction of the Holy Spirit, that might be you praying in your prayer language, or it might be you praying in your native language, English or Spanish or Chinese or whatever. You might be praying earnestly, because the Holy Spirit is urging you and downloading in you and motivating you to pray that way. But then again, you might run out of English, Spanish, whatever language, and slip into your prayer language and begin to pray in the Spirit and pray earnestly. And sometimes you might even groan in pain. I mean, you know, just because you're kind of lost in the prayer and you're just into it, you're really taking that person's place, you're feeling what they're feeling, you're sensing what they're sensing, and now you're getting under that burden and you're wanting to lift that off of them. The Bible says we should lift one another's burdens, amen? We should pick the burdens off of people. We should pray as burdens off of people, amen? You want to see people free? Get in prayer. Get prayer that just yield yourself to it. I mean, when those things happen and you start having that kind of intercession, just let it happen. Yield yourself and begin to pray earnestly. And then when you get a note of joy or a note of, wow, that was something, Maybe at that point you prayed through for that person, and now that person can receive the miracle. Or maybe it takes another session, but that's not your job. Your job is to stand in the gap for that person. Amen? So here's the thing. A lot of times, you know, we have this thought, I should pray for so-and-so. And then we just go around doing whatever we were doing, and it comes back. I should pray for so-and-so. And then we keep doing what we're doing, and then it comes back. I should pray for so-and-so. You know what? It's probably the Holy Spirit speaking to you, saying, you know what? You ought to be praying. So what are you going to do? Are you going to yield yourself to that and pray? Are you going to make yourself an appointment to pray for that person? I mean, I understand, you know, you're on the line and you're putting parts on and God's saying pray for that person. Well, maybe you can pray right there, but maybe that's not the extent you can pray for that person. When I get home, first thing I'm going to do is pray for that person. Amen? Because it's God speaking to me. It's his instruction. He's on the verge of doing something for that person, and you're the key to that person receiving. I could tell you many stories that my pastor told me of people that prayed for him when he was in dire situations on the mission field and how God delivered him. It's fascinating, fascinating stories, because he kept a diary, and those people that were praying for him kept a diary, and being thousands of miles apart, when they got back together months or years later and compared their diary dates, that person was praying exactly at the same time he was going through that situation and circumstance. And God protected him, delivered him from sometimes from people that were holding them hostage, and sometimes from some sicknesses that he had and some other things, God delivered him. So it was amazing to hear those that revelation. An example of this from the Bible is Paul and Silas praying in the Philippian prison. Remember, they had gotten beaten unjustly. They got whipped and put into the stocks in this prison. The Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing to God. I mean, that's a stupid thing to do after you've just been beat up. But that's what they were doing. The Bible says the prison was shaken. All the prisoners went loose. The jailer was going to commit suicide. And Paul said, hey, don't do that, man. We're all here. We're all shocked by this thing. Just let's get together. And that night, that guy got saved. And his whole household got saved. The whole prison probably got saved. And a great church was birthed in Philippi, in Greece, in Philippi, Greece. Praise the Lord. So when you're feeling lost while praying for the lost, you're feeling a burden for the lost or the lost person, just yield to it and pray. Intercession for the sick is the same way. It works after the same fashion. When you run out of English or run out of your language, pray in spirit. Pray in tongues. Begin to pray. Begin to intercede. Just let it get a hold of you and let you be used of God to do that. So basically, God is looking for you to give yourself in prayer. He's looking for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I want to cover a couple of other points about the Holy Spirit in this process. So my second item, the first item that I was talking to you about was the Holy Spirit's help in intercession. Now I want to speak to you just about the use of your prayer language, praying in tongues, or praying in the Spirit, we sometimes say. The reason we say praying in the Spirit and praying in tongues is synonymous is because in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul said, what will I do? I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray with my understanding. So he's making a differentiation between praying in the Spirit and praying in his understanding. In that same chapter, he says, when I speak in tongues, my mind is disconnected. My mind is not understanding. It's not getting a hold of this. So if you connect all the dots in that chapter, I know it's a little confusing because he goes in and out about several subjects, but if you connect the dots, you can see that he's talking about praying in tongues here when he's saying praying in the Spirit. So that's why we say praying in tongues is praying in the Spirit. We use those terms synonymously. So when you're praying in the Spirit, what's going on? According to Jude verse 20, Jude only has one chapter, Jude chapter 1 verse 20, Jude says, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost or praying in the Spirit. He's saying that when you use that kind of prayer, prayer in the Spirit, what you are doing is you're edifying yourself or you're building yourself up. So it may sound like nonsense or gibberish to somebody, but when you're praying in the prayer language that the Holy Spirit has given you, you are actually kicking in the function of faith building on the inside. Why does that work that way? Well, for one thing is when you pray in tongues, you have to do it by faith because you're not understanding it with your mind, right? You have to use your faith in order to pray in the Spirit because the supernatural thing is not the person who's speaking, it's you that's speaking. You're moving your lips, you're moving your tongue, you're forming the words. But those words are coming not out of your head, they're coming out of your inside. They're coming out from way inside of you somewhere where the Holy Spirit lives. He's the author of that prayer. And that's why the Bible says in Romans 8:26 that when you're praying that way, you're praying the perfect will of God into being. So that would be another reason to use this kind of prayer. This prayer in the Spirit or praying in tongues would be, I want to see the perfect will of God in this situation. And I've run out of how to pray exactly about it, but I know that He knows. I know that He's connected. I know that I'm making a connection with Him, and I know that He's on the scene. I just don't understand all of it, and I don't have to understand all of it, so I'm going to pray this thing through. So I'm praying in the Spirit. And so when you're praying in tongues, when you're praying in the Spirit, it's not just wasting time. It's not just gibberish. It's communicating with God in a way that your mind doesn't understand, but your heart and your spirit man are connected with God because He lives inside of you, okay? Does that make some sense to you? If it doesn't make sense, just say, oh me, it's just the Word, because it is in the Bible, amen? The Bible says when they were in the upper room, the Holy Spirit came upon them. They all prayed in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit is the one who gave the utterance, gave the words to them. When they were in Cornelius' house and Peter was preaching, it says the Holy Spirit fell on them and they all spoke in tongues and magnified God. In other words, that kind of a prayer language was used to worship God. They were worshiping God in their prayer language. Maybe they were even singing in the Spirit. We don't know exactly, but somehow they were speaking in tongues and magnifying God, making God big, worshiping God. So building yourself up is an important thing. It's for personal edification. What does it do? Well, first of all, it helps sensitivity to the Holy Spirit because you're more conscious of the spiritual when you're praying in tongues. I mean, you may not understand the words, but you're conscious that you're in connection with God. I mean, he's speaking from the inside of you, speaking out words that you don't understand. So it's a spiritual connection. So it gives you sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. And it's important because with the vocal gifts, when I say vocal gifts, I mean gifts of the Spirit, meaning prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. All of those three gifts require you to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit because you're being used to do something for God. You're being used to do something with the power of the Holy Spirit, whereas the other six gifts, working of miracles, gifts of healing, and all the rest of them. Yeah. And sometimes when you're thinking in a vein, I'm just going, okay, what are the rest of this? But those gifts, the gift of faith is another one. Those gifts, those nine gifts listed in 1 Corinthians, the other six, actually it's God doing some things either through you or on your behalf. And it's not the same as these vocal gifts because you actually have to speak. Now, if I give a prophetic utterance, I have to discern what God's saying and speak it to you. If I give a tongue a language that needs to be interpreted for this meeting so that you can all understand, I have to yield myself to God to speak that language. And then someone, either myself or someone, needs to yield themselves to God to get the interpretation of that. What does this mean? An interpretation, by the way, isn't a translation. It's just more transliteration. It's an interpretation, which means this is how I see and process and perceive what God is saying by the Spirit. It's not like word for word. That's why sometimes person give a long message in tongues and somebody gives a short interpretation. It's just like the wife asking the husband, how was your day? And he said, well, it's fine. No, she said, that's not what I mean, how was your day. I mean, what did you do today? Well, why didn't you ask what did you do today? Oh, well, I went to work. No. That's not going to get it either. You went to work and you did what? You saw who? You talked to who? What kind of a job were you doing? I mean, come on. Say something. Amen. So an interpretation can be very short, but that shows the personality of the person, really, that's giving the interpretation. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is God wants us to do that. Or quit doing that, or, you know, whatever the message was. Amen? And then somebody else would just give this long, really, explanation. They'll go around the barn a few times and finally come to some conclusion, hopefully, this is what God really wants us to do, and say, amen? What is that? It's God. It's that person yielding to God and yielding their personality to God, and God is using it. It's just sometimes it's short and sometimes it's really long. Amen? Just like this sermon is getting really long. So we have to quit here somewhere. Okay, building yourself up in the Spirit. God wants you to do that. Enter a spirit realm where people are delivered from sin, where they're delivered from sickness, delivered from bondage. Many times that goes into intercession and so forth and so on. But sometime when you're at home, read Isaiah 28, verses 11 and 12, because it talks about when you do this, it's a prediction that when this would happen to people in God's kingdom, that they would be entering to a place of rest. So I think we're going to stop there, and we're going to invite you to look at your bulletins, and we'll do what we are calling focus groups. So just for the next 15 minutes or so.
Boring. Now, people can make it boring, and it's okay. You don't have to make it boring. Prayer is one thing that it's like this is conduit that we can plug into and get power. Because without that, I can play, nothing's going to come out. And a lot of people play the piano without getting plugged in, right? What happens? Nothing happens. And then they blame God. It doesn't work. Why? It is not going to work because it's not magic. You got to be plugged in. Prayer is a place where we not only ask petition, but we also step out of it, receiving that promise, and we do proclamation. That lady was doing that. While she was doing, I was jumping behind. I was like, ah. Because now you have asked, and God comes and says, granted, yes and amen. Then we need to quit the petitioning, because you don't petition what's already been granted, right? Because people get into this rut. See, that's why prayer is relational. We cannot say prayers. We're not Catholics. There are some godly Catholics who understand what prayer is. Just kidding. But here's the thing. We have to come out of the petitioning, because in this relationship, when God says yes, we now have to step into proclamation. So we don't say, God, help me, God, help me, God, help me. God's like, I already did. We recognize that in that relationship. And we move, and then we say, be released. Be set free, be healed, and we have to come to that place. Amen? Amen? So prayer is this beautiful weapon that we have been given, that we can yield out against the enemy opposing situations, circumstances, things that need to be moved, we have the authority to, because we have the authority to bind that which needs to be bound and loose that which needs to be loose. Because in prayer, we are agreeing with God for that situation. And you can be assured that it has been settled in heaven. So prayer is basically not just closing our eyes and assuming a position and mumbling a few things and checklist done. I hope something happens. It's not that. We are saying this is settled in heaven. I'm just bringing it down here to my situation here on earth. Does that make sense? In other words, you already know the result. If you knew the result, you would have a different kind of prayer. It is a prayer that is coming with expectation. Right? Amen. You're not hoping, I hope God heals me. No, 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 no. What does God say? What is settled in heaven if you fall sick, you know? Because there is proclamation whether you believe it or not. That's the one way to bring that down to my situation. For example, I've heard many people say, I feel scratchy. I think I'm catching a cold. Why in the world would you say that? No, in my workplace, you know. I think I'm catching a cold. This guy, I tell you what, at least 5 or 6 times a year, he catches a cold. Seriously. He's a biker. Bicycle, yeah. But here's the thing. Believe it or not, we are proclaimers. Caruso is proclaimer of the good news. We are called to proclaim. Sometimes in prayer, we proclaim things over us. Just make it a proclamation of faith of what already has been done. So, what I'm trying to say is this. Our language, who we are proclaimers. So in prayer, we can proclaim your kingdom come here on earth. And you know, if you read the Bible, you know what the kingdom is. So sickness is not allowed. Amen. Misery is not allowed. Amen. Poverty is not allowed. Did you know you can command in money? Woo! Yes, that's fun. When money comes in and you didn't expect. And then he makes it stretch. You can pray in favor. Favor now. You talk to Tina after church. Seriously. Folks, it works. I bought a $100 trouser for $15.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
3 of them. Seriously.
Yes, amen.
You know why? I don't go, God, please help me. God's like, I put you in Christ for that. Of course. So, I don't beg God. Don't beg God for what's already yours. Recognize who you are. So now my prayer is not, oh, please help me. I turn around and say to the situation. When Tina was calling this person, I said, I speak the most favorable person would come. I speak favor over you. And I speak that they would give above and beyond. I kid you not. We'll live in constant holy tickles. Why? It's fun being with Jesus, seeing things turn around. Anyway. So did you... holy tickles, yeah. God loves to tickle. I love to tickle my children. Ask them. God loves me. He loves to tickle me with so much goodness. So... Amen. You always get tickled. I know. You're the first one to fall down. Anyway, all that to say, let's make prayer our proclamation and not something that we go beg, you know? It's not that. Prayer is our proclamation because it is yes and amen. Amen? Alrighty. Did you all enjoy your groups? Did you all get some insight? How many groups were there? I thought there were 4 of them. There were 4? Can one person from each group kind of bring out some application that you kind of distilled from that scripture, because there's a bunch in there. There's a bunch in there. So let's start from here, the group that was here, and then we'll go around this way. Raise your hand so Mew can, Rivka can bring that. There, she's right over there.
We were just talking about how mainly the prayer for those in authority is kind of what came up in our group, and how it's not just the government in Washington, D.C., it's in our own homes. And how our prayer lives could be different, you know, even in our own homes. So,
amen. Brilliant. Anybody else? Don't all rush at the same time. Nobody has any application. Yes.
Well, God spoke to me, even in the sermon, to not be aggravated or offended, but just get into the Holy Spirit and pray it through.
Amen. Yeah. That spirit of offense, or just being upset at stuff. You know, the devil brings things to disrupt our prayer because we are proclaimers. Yes, let's, yeah. Anybody else? Sarah?
Just on that, there we go, on that note, because I was in the group with Juanita, we were talking about how intercession connects you to the heart of God. Instead of what we think, because I could pray for somebody, but I'm kind of upset with them, or I see their situation a certain way, or I have a fleshly opinion about it. But when I pray in the Spirit and intercede, then what I think goes out the window, and it's just I connect to God's heart for that person.
Brilliant.
And it's really powerful.
Awesome. That is a phenomenal point. That is, I totally agree. I concur. Yes, awesome. Anybody else? Okay. So, oh, yeah. Sally.
I picked up on the part where it was talking about having a thankful heart. And that's a real important aspect for intercession, too, to look at it. First of all, being grateful that we can even recognize people in authority and other people, the value of them to God. Going into it that way makes a difference. And then we can intercede and ask. Discernment is another thing. Of, say you just walk into the room, ask God for discernment. Okay, what needs to be influenced here? What can God be doing here? So those two things are strong for me.
Very interesting. The reason is prayer is not something that we connect here. Prayer is also what we connect here. So we are influencers. We don't get influenced by circumstances, situations. We influence. You know, the, Satan has no power over us. We have authority over him. We kick him. Who was that? Somebody I talked to. I told you.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can say this in church, but we are butt kickers. We kick his butt every time.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah. Anytime he comes. You, what, you said 8 months?
Nine months.
He's tormented. You know what she said? Well, turn your tailor, get out of here, because I'm kicking you right now. And he left it. He left her. Amen. So it's very, yeah, we have to turn things around. Enough of the church being tormented. The church is going to torment the enemy. Amen. All right. So let me close shop here, and then we'll move to ministry time. There are four different prayers that I kind of distilled. There was the prayer of intercession for others. There was thanksgiving, because we've got to be thankful, you know, and give thanks for them. Then the personal prayers, basically pray for authorities, so then our lives would be full of peace, dignity, restful, and quiet lives. That's interesting, no? We pray for authorities so we can be better. And then salvation prayers. So those four, the intercession prayers gives goodness. Thanksgiving prayers produces gratefulness. Personal prayers actually establishes protection for our lives, for what we have, for, you know, through our authorities. And then salvation prayers builds relationship, people to God, us to people. Brilliant. So I think the application for me was preparation, proclamation, and perseverance. Prepare. One thing we talked in our group is it's not just random things that we spout out, but we sit and pray, make a journal, write down, because for the next 1 month, I am going to pray this into my finances or pray this favor or a job. It's very purposeful. Whatever God does, he's very purposeful, very intentional. He just doesn't do randomly, I think I'll just do something for Cheryl today. I just think I'll do something. No, he's very intentional. Because before you were born, he saw you. He said, that's it. I'm speaking that over you while you were knit in your mother's womb. Very intentional. So our prayers need to be intentional as well. So we have a preparation. We have to prepare. Lord, this is where you're leading me. This is what I want. This is the favor I ask. So this is what I'm going to pray into my situation. This is what I'm going to pray into Beth. This is what I'm going to pray. I'm praying for you, Juanita. Every time I think about you, I'm praying. So what is it, Lord? What is it, Lord? What is it, Lord? And, you know, God speaks. Your healing is coming. Your healing is coming. Completion. You're healed. Your completion is coming. Amen? Number two is proclamation. I just talked so much. We need to stop begging God for what he's already given. Because he put you in Christ, everything is yes and amen. I love it when I'm starting to tell God and he says yes. But I haven't asked. Well, I know. I'm God. I know everything. It's yes. Seriously? Yes. And we have to like, well, I receive it. Amen? We have to proclaim. We have to have a goal. We have to put a timeline. Lord, in 2 months, I want this. You know? Or in by next week, I want this. We can proclaim and speak it into existence. Number three, perseverance. We have to persevere. If God says, granted, but I'm going to take 3 years for this. Why? It's not just the end result, the journey, that process. I'm building something in you. Oh, because that'll sustain what you get in the end. So what happens? We now need to persevere. Persevere. I ain't giving up. The symptoms might come. Well, we don't live by symptoms, right? We live by what God tells us into our lives, right? We don't live by the proclamation of the doctor or situations or how I feel. We live by faith. We live by the proclamation of what God speaks over you, because he watches over his word, right? Jeremiah 1, I think 12 or 17. He watches over. It's not going to come back void. So preparation, proclamation, and perseverance. Amen? Amen. All righty. Now we'll land the plane here. We talked about prayer. So if you need prayer, let's come in front.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.